ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading text 40 from Canto 9, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Jivai kato chutak vikarshati ma vitripta Shishnon yatas twag udaram shavanam kutash chit. Granon yatas chapalakrik kvacha karma shaktir. Bhavya sapatnya iva geha patim lunanti. Jivai kato chuta vikarshati ma vitripta. Shishnon yatas twag udaram shravanam kutash chit. Granon yatas cha paladrik kvacha karma shaktir. Bhavya sapatya iva geha patim lunanti. Jiva, the tongue. Ekataha, to one side. Achyuta, O my infallible Lord. Vikarshati, attracts ma me of a tripta not being satisfied shishnaha the genitals anyataha to another side tvak the skin for touching a soft thing udharam the belly for various types of food. Shravanam, the ear for hearing some sweet music. Kutash chit, to some other side. Grahanam, the nose for smelling. Anyataha, to still another side. Chapala drik, the restless eyesight. Kva cha, somewhere. Karma shaktihi, the active senses. Bhavyaha, many. Sa patnyaha, co-wives. Iva, like, geha patim, a householder, lunanti, annihilate. Translation, my dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, to the sense of touch, to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. I think this is India perspective. Bollywood songs. So, you know, the Western version is not cinema songs, it's something else. But anyway, the sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. Purport by Prabhupada. The human form of life is meant for God realization, but this process, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is disturbed as long as our senses are materially attracted. Therefore, devotional service means purifying the senses. In the conditioned state, our senses are covered by material sense gratification. And as long as one is not trained in purifying the senses, one cannot become a devotee. In our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, we advise from the very beginning that one restrict the activities of the senses, especially the tongue, which is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the most greedy and unconquerable. To stop this attraction of the tongue, one is authoritatively advised not to accept meat or similar uneatable things, nor to allow the tongue to hanker to drink or smoke. Even the drinking of tea and coffee is not permitted. Similarly, the genitals must be restricted from illicit sex. Without such restraints of the senses, one cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. The only method of controlling the senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, one will always be disturbed, as a householder with more than one wife would be disturbed by them for sense gratification. Consistent with Prahlad Maharaj's mood from the very, very beginning of his prayers, he's taking the position, absorbed in the mood of humility. He's characterizing himself as a grossly conditioned soul, filled with a mind that's uncontrolled and senses that are uncontrolled and ego that's out of control, and submitting himself in that. Humility is not low self-esteem. Humility is recognizing the precarious position and the tendency of the mind and senses to run here and go there and cover Krishna. So he's standing before the personality of Godhead, addressing him as Achyuta, because I, Prahlad Maharaj, am Chuta, I'm fallen. With that mood of humility, you know, one can get depressed or one can become enthused to reach out or be eager to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Now, the Prahlad is in the second category. And he's also presenting, for our benefit, for sure, some core principles of yoga practice, as Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita in his purports. There's no question, same as he's saying here, there's no question of advancement in spiritual life of any kind. Whatever the yoga system, it's essential that there's sense control and mind control, and wishing for spiritual advancement without sense control and mind control is a farce. One will not make spiritual progress without sense control, mind control, and as Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, from the very beginning. It may not be popular. We may not have many followers because we're saying sense control, mind control. So that's all right. Many followers is not the objective. That giving something genuine or giving that by which one can come face to face with the Supreme Lord or enter into one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Otherwise not possible. So why cheat people and say, you can do anything, everything? Not compromising on that point. The emphasis, I read the purport three times, and the place that Prabhupada begins is not the position of do not. It's not coming from the place of negation. It's coming from the place of purification. Although the message is do not. I mean, there are times when Prabhupada would say, when I arrived in the Boston Harbor, looking at the scene, just like the poem that he wrote, then commenting just in conversation, I was thinking, how are these people going to accept so many do nots? They will not accept. Their life is licentious. It's just wanton sense enjoyment. But I'm going to be saying do not, do not, do not. So who is going to be attracted? But anyway, let me try. Just like that. But anyway, let me try. Practically speaking, what Prabhupada did at the very beginning was he didn't say do not, do not, do not. There's a historical period of time when he just engaged people in three things. Kirtan, the tongue. Kirtan, hearing him speak, so ear to also, hearing him speak Bhagavad Gita's message, and prasadam. Kirtan, lecture, kirtan, prasadam. Same. And after some time, persons becoming attracted, there's this historical little event. Brahmananda asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, aren't we supposed to be observing some restrictions? Didn't come at the very beginning. It came. But when they were ready, that's when it came. And then Prabhupada said, yes, I'll give them to you tomorrow. It's a famous little event. So there was a bulletin board. If you've ever been to 26 Second Avenue, when you walk in the storefront, just on the left, there was a bulletin board for announcements. Like an American thing, you have a bulletin board for announcements. So in his own handwriting, Prabhupada gave the four regular principles. First time. And from that time forward, so it was added. Because in a preliminary condition, there could have been a mass exodus or rebellion or something, making it more difficult. But it's necessary. Point is, it's for spiritual progress, it's necessary. But the emphasis, again, in the purport is on purification. Purification means engaging the senses in service as opposed to restraining the senses. The emphasis is give that energy of the senses want something. Thanks. The senses want something. Give them Krishna. And especially Krishna Prasadam, because we have noticed, probably, and Prabhupada commented that nice prasadam is the main sense gratification for the devotee. So, you know, lots of prasadam, and there was this saying, you know, up to the neck, fill them up to their neck. You know, the wild people that were first coming, just, you know, till they waddle. And that's, waddle they did. So many people, and not just, you know, Western hippie type people, but all different types of people. I mean, ask people from time to time what attracted you initially to Krishna consciousness, and with, you know, little embarrassment, they'll say, you know, the prasadam initially attracted me to Krishna consciousness. I mean, other things may have also. That's certainly the case, but many people. And there's a spiritual principle, and that's the, you know, the purification principle. One of the verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami's writing, Nectar of Devotion, we know as, this point is written in his own, you know, original Sanskrit. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved, you know the verse? Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe He Jiva Daut. Again, this word Jiva, you know, not this one. J-I-H-V-A. That's the tongue. Atakri Krishna Nabadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhi He Jiva Dao, beginning with the tongue. Jiva Adi, beginning with the tongue. I'll go through the word for word, but the gloss, when Prabhupada would describe this over and over and over and over and over, was simply God realization A to Z. But it is made possible if one can control the senses, beginning with the tongue. That's like the gloss of the message of that verse. And that's, so the verse in the Bhagavatam, it's a classic. It's describing, or it's detailing the different senses, including the karma shakti, the force of the active senses. We know that there's five and five and one. Five knowledge acquiring, five working, and the mind, 11 senses. So the list is the five working senses, then again just adds, Prahlad adds, and you know, and the active senses, they go, they're drawn somewhere. So they're all, these are all active senses. Excuse me. These are senses of acquiring knowledge, but largely the acquiring knowledge, what's that? It's sense gratification and the active senses. Anyway, some of them are active and some of them are knowledge acquiring in the list in the verse. So here's the quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 17. Going to go through the word for word. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. So Namadi means beginning with the name. Namadi. But in Prabhupada, in the word for word, it's Namadi, he lists them out. Not just beginning with the name, but the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes, and so on. And Sri Krishna Namadi, specifically. The name of Krishna and the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, and so on. And Atta, that's how the verse begins, Attaha, means therefore. And Prabhupada translates that therefore parentheses, because Krishna and all of these features of Krishna are on fully on the absolute platform, the senses cannot contact the absolute platform. Kind of obvious, but it's stated. And so that's a dilemma, because we're agitated by desire to enjoy the senses and the mind, and the freedom from that struggle is to contact the Krishna. But atak Shri Krishna namadi na bhaved grayam. Grayam means perceived. We cannot perceive Krishna. Na bhaved grayam. Indriyai. Indriya means senses. So again, the all 11. Five working, five knowledge acquiring in the mind, 11 senses. Through them we cannot contact that which is absolute because they're material. Problema. What to do? But sevan mukhi means to be engaged in his seva. Sevan mukhi. He, certainly, jiva dao. Beginning with the tongue, jiva dao. So, and then the other senses. By controlling this one sense, this is Prabhupada's gloss again, by controlling one sense, then it becomes possible to control the other senses. And the converse, if you can't control the tongue, you're not going to be able to control your other senses, including the mind, and all of the other senses, knowledge and working senses, knowledge acquiring. Sevan mukhihi jivadau svayam Krishna, the last line is Krishna makes himself manifest. Svayam eva spuratyadau. Spurati. He manifests himself. Although our senses and knowledge acquiring and working senses and mind cannot contact that which is absolute because they're material, if the senses are controlled, beginning with the tongue, then svayam eva sparatyada. He can be seen. He who can't be seen can be seen. He who can't be reached is accessible. And it's not just, it's not a lot of things. It's not just discipline. The yoga system has discipline. Even other than the yoga system has discipline. Life of people who are materially successful. To be materially successful, you have to be disciplined. During the program Saturday night, one of the guests was visiting from out of town, and there was a young woman recently married that's a professional squash player. She's number 10 in the world. Since she's 13, every day she practices squash and all other physical activities for 5 hours a day. And she's in her, you know, mid-20s. 5 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Drill, 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 drill. You know, like, said, is, you know, is this an Olympic or, you know, competition thing, or is it a profession? She said it's both. It's her life. Like for us, it's our life is serving Krishna. And not just the devotees in the temple or householders that are serious about Krishna consciousness. It must be like that also. Geha patim, like a householder that has many wives and all demanding attention. So when their sins control, then that quiets down. But it's not just control, it's not negation. So whether it's you know, Buddhism or Ashtanga Yoga or an Olympic athlete or, you know, a mega successful entrepreneur. I remember on this point, I remember living in the 55th Street Temple in Manhattan. It was very close to Central Park. It was really nice. Right after Mangal Arati, you know, in the right season, go for a walk in Central Park. And it was, besides it was nice and refreshing, it was very clear that the really successful people, they were heading to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we were going to Mangal Arati, and they were up before Mangal Arati, getting ready to go to work and make money, 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 money. And they're the successful guys. You know, the early bird gets the worm. So, very disciplined. So it's not just negation, is the point. It's purification. And how does that purification by engaging that which is the senses, which are made of matter, it's prakriti. There's a covering. And even aside from the gross senses, this is kind of an important point of Sankhya philosophy. There's the gross sense, and then there's the subtle sense. What does that mean? There's the power of locomotion, and then there's legs. So supposing your leg gets broken or amputated or something. Well, you put on another one. Whatever they call that these days. Or, you know, something happens. You take out a machine part, put another machine part. There's the gross sense has some capacity to do something because there's a subtle sense behind it. So controlling the senses is not just the gross part, it's the subtle part. And so the subtle part needs purification by engaging the gross part in what? You know, in that which is on the absolute plane. Then the subtle sense can become purified, and then the gross sense can be properly engaged, because the subtle sense, the intention, if the intention is this, then the subtle sense can become purified, like taking prasadam. And it acts to, on the subtle platform, the tongue may say, you know, this is very nice prasadam. And, you know, prasadam should be prepared in such a way that it, you know, it's not just prasadam, but it's prepared nicely, with devotion especially, and it tastes nice, so people are happy to take that nice prasadam. And the subtle sense becomes purified. And as the subtle sense becomes purified, then engaging the rest of the senses also for further purification is needed. Encouraged. Well, that was nice. Let me try the other parts. And then what does Krishna say about the sitting place of lust? Who knows the verse from Bhagavad Gita? Where is the sitting place for lust? Dushparena analena cha. Lust burns like fire. Touch fire. What happens? It burns. Touch lust. What happens? It burns. Like fire. And where are the sitting places of lust? Mind and senses. Yeah, right? So what to do about that? Well, just curb it. Like put a straitjacket on. Close your eyes. Blindfolded, earplugs, in a straitjacket. In a padded cell. So you can become God-realized. You know, the mechanical restriction of the senses doesn't take away the lust. The lust is still sitting there waiting, I want out of here. I want to enjoy. So it doesn't work. It needs purification. The purification is, exactly as the verse of Rupa Goswami's teaching, because he's teaching bhakti, senses need engagement. So what's the verse? It speaks about engaging the senses in the service of Krishna, the service of the master of the senses. Yeah. Right? You familiar with that verse? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhaktir, Uchate. Bhaktir, Uchate. It is said that bhakti is Rishikesha, Rishikena, Rishikesha. The senses are engaged in Rishikesha, Rishikesha, the master of the senses, Isha. Rishikesha, the master of the senses, is the receiver of the service of the senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate, purification of the senses, including the mind. Our dear friend, the mind. So we can, you know, mechanically be engaged in something, you know, looks like devotional service, but if the mind is in a bad place, you know, supposing somebody using their senses is engaged in performing arti. That's nice devotional service. But supposing the mind is in the gutter. We won't itemize what gutter places the mind might be engaged in. But supposing the mind is in the gutter. What happens? Purification is minimized for sure. And, you know, seeing the object of worship properly, you know, you've checked out already. So now what to do? What can, you know, absorb the mind along. So it's the chief of the 11. It governs the other 10. Because if the mind doesn't, by free will choice, direct the mind to Krishna in the course of that service, then the mind's going to be contemplating something else, like, you know, enjoyment of the senses. I'm tempted, I think I'll do it. Tempted just to just give a little, you know, historical perspective on fall downs within temples. One of the places, there's others, but one of the places that's been, in my experience, a prominent place where male-female attraction resulting in fall down takes place is in relation to deity worship in the pujari room around the altar or this or that. I mean, not just, you know, close call, but fall down without detail. It's shocking and etc. So even when doing nice devotional service, the mind has to be in the right place. It's the chief of the senses. And so the purification, and chanting the holy name, and any other thing that we may do, directing the mind is essential. Controlling the mind and controlling the senses are essential. So that's you know, there's the negative, and then there's the positive. The positive is if one does the engaging of the senses properly, he who is on the absolute plane can be directly seen. The verse of Rupa Goswami says, Svayameva Svaratyada. Svarati means become manifest. Svayameva Svaratyada. Ada is a pronoun. It means those. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities. Krishna becomes manifest. He who is on the absolute plane becomes manifest. Just this little simple thing. And that's what bhakti is, a little simple thing. Just choosing and, you know, being a little regulated and conscious, you know, being conscious the purpose behind what we're doing so that Krishna can be manifest in our lives, consciously guided by Him, feeling His presence, feeling His protection, feeling safe, feeling connected, and inspired to go forward. It's something like, just give this one example, and I'm going to abruptly end. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the BBT publication now, because compliments of Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, it was translated in compliments of the editorial staff who spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours refining the editing. There's a passage in part two of Brihat Bhagavatamrita where Gopal Kumar goes to Tapaloka. Tapaloka. There's seven upper, seven lower planetary systems, 14 total. 7 plus 7 is 14. So we're in the lower of the upper. So Bhuloka, or Bhumandala, this earthly plane, Bhuvar Loka, and Swargaloka. The Swargaloka is heaven, and in many religious teachings, that's it. The goal is that one. Go to heaven. Swargaloka. The Vedas teach above that position number three, there's four more. Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka. And then Brahmaloka. And then there's beyond Brahmaloka. There's the coverings of the universe, and then beyond the coverings of the universe is the spiritual sky. And beyond, within the spiritual sky, there's spiritual planets and Krishnaloka. I mean, we get the whole picture through the Bhagavatam and Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So when Gopal Kumar goes to Tapaloka, it's celibates only. Below Tapaloka is Maharloka, where beyond heaven there are grihastas that aren't interested in sense gratification, but they're grihastas, and they're yajna fans. They really like yajna, because when they perform yajna, the Supreme Lord appears from the fire, holding out His hands, ready to receive their offerings. And they're saying thank you. He doesn't need to say thank you. He says, and because they see the Supreme Lord, they just want to do yajnas. So as soon as one is done and He disappears, they got another one started up. It's just like a festival of yajnas. Then there's an in-between place that no information given, Janaloka. And then there's Tapaloka. And Tapaloka is celibates only. Brahmacharis and sannyasi ashram. So there, they have a different way of seeing the Supreme Lord. They see Him in meditation. And when they see Him in meditation, they don't want to stop meditating. They meditate for days at a time. Let's just skip prasadam and taking rest and all of those other bodily things. They just meditate. So when Gopal Kumar went there, he was asking them, where am I and who are you? And they didn't respond because they were in meditation, seeing the Supreme Lord. And after days, they would stop their meditation, then have a discussion on philosophy. Imagine the elevated quality of the discussion in philosophy. Then they would take a little prasadam, take a little nap, and go back and meditate. And they encourage Gopakumar, what are you doing running around looking for Madan Gopal? We see him all the time. Just meditate with us. It's cool. Become a meditation fan along with us. You're looking, looking. And they gave this very interesting philosophy that says, before you see an object, it appears in your, before your senses perceive, the object appears in the mind. So just see the object in your mind. Get with the program. So he got, you know, a little fired up and tried the meditation program, but it just wasn't the same. He didn't even know what the same was. It just didn't satisfy. He kept going. He stayed for a while and then went on. Because he wanted devotional service where, not just in the mind, but with purified senses, the spiritual form of the Lord, because it was a spiritual form of the Lord that would appear in their mind. It wasn't a material, you know, shadow reflection. It was the form of the Lord, something like Dhruva, who was seeing the form of the Lord. And then the form of the Lord, his mind disappeared, and there he was in front of him. So it's not the same. The experience is not the same. It's transcendental experience, but it's not the same experience. So he kept going, Gopakumar, and we can also. To directly engage in all varieties of devotional service. We're in the practice stage right now, sadhana bhakti, and explicitly, the purpose of that is purify the senses. Scrub, 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 those senses and the mind and, you know, hankering for all the things that are mentioned in the purport. Enjoyment. Just taking away that tendency leaves the natural tendency of the senses and the mind, because they're awarded, the material mind and senses are awarded due to what? Desire to enjoy independently from Krishna. So we get, you know, we get coverings. Linga sharira. Material coverings. Now, if those coverings become cleansed and spiritualized, then the spiritual senses start to act and hanker. Naturally, they hanker their eagerness and become even greedy for being in Krishna's association. That's how it happens. Sadhana has to proceed. And then natural state of deep hankering awakens. Just, you know, it's purification. From the contaminated hankering to the material hankering, spiritual hankering. It just follows naturally. Especially when we get like a big dose of mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which comes from serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's his deity form, and then there's instructions, and then there's the mission of the purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Give the world. Every town and village. Just engage in the mission. Get his mercy. And then that awakening of that hankering naturally is, that's the benediction. The spiritual desire overwhelming, displacing the material hankering. As long as we have the proper mood, if we slacken in the proper mood, we resume the former type of covering. When someone falls from the platform of devotional service, the first thing they fall to is habits that were previously there due to material conditioning. That's one of the things that Prabhupada said about people growing their hair. He didn't like it. People engaging in rock and roll music. He didn't like it. And, you know, those other things. If when submission slackens, you go right back to where you were, and then quite possibly further down, or at least further away. Well, that's not nice. Stay in the mood of submission as Prahlad. He is as far up as you can go. The Supreme Lord appeared for him And he's feeling himself very meek and humble. Not low self-esteem. He's feeling himself very meek and humble and eager in submitting himself to the mercy of this, of Achyuta. So I, who am Chyuta, can become in Achyuta's association through devotional service. Chanting is like the previous verse is saying, I don't even have the capacity to chant or to speak or be attracted to chanting and hearing because I'm so, that sense of humility. So I need mercy, please. Okay, so I'll end. See if there's any comments. Yes?
When one starts devotional service, lust at a gross level is immediately recognized.
Lust does what?
At a gross level.
There's a gross level of lust, okay.
And you kind of very obviously recognize it and you kind of address it, like you should not engage in certain activities.
Well, even if you're engaged in certain activities, but what to speak of if you're not?
Yeah. So as a practicing devotees over the years, lust manifests in a very subtle way that you don't recognize it, that you have it. And through, like you said, like Mahaprabhu's mercy, you recognize it at one stage in your bhakti. And that's kind of a very uncomfortable place to be because now you recognize that I have this very subtle lust which you were ignorant before about. And there's a process and it takes time to come to the platform of pure bhakti.
Yeah, sure does.
So that recognition and feeling miserable in one sense and having confidence that the mercy will take you to your goal, that phase is difficult. So how should one proceed, I would say, without feeling overwhelmed?
How to advance without feeling overwhelmed? That's your question?
Yes.
You know that in-between space? Well, I'm thinking of two things in response. One is when one feels safe and protected, that means, you know, I may be in this in-between space, like, you know, a child that can't protect themselves. They're dependent on their parents being there to help protect them. And even I may be a child needing protection if I have this relationship and presence of a loving parent, then I can feel safe. Even, you know, I'm certainly vulnerable, but I feel safe. And what, in all of the things that what is implied by the statement of feeling safe. Feeling accepted, feeling not judged, feeling assisted. You just reach out and there's the assistance that I require. Although I'm in the in-between space, I require assistance and I'm safe. And another is it's related, but you know, where there's a sense of connection with a source of strength that's beyond my strength. You know, saying the flip side, not feeling alone, or saying it positive. There is, you know, by my side is someone who has strength. They're not in this in-between space like me, and they're accessible. So it's beyond my own strength, and it's that sense of connection makes the going through that in-between space, bearable. and having a positive sense of I can be successful. Even I know what's right. I know what the goal is, and I'm not there, and I'm this in-between space, and I'm being pulled and pushed and tempted and stuff. But that sense of connection with someone, so it's not just my own effort. I'm not, because my strength may go up and down, unsteady, up and down. But there's someone by my side and very accessible that's not up and down. I can rely on them. I just, so then that sense of connection that it's really easy to reach out. And even if I don't reach out, they may tap me on the shoulder and say, you're heading towards the ditch. Oh, I didn't know that you noticed. You have something, Mukunda?
Maharaj, I was just reading today morning, actually, this section in chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita, about how the sthita pragya engages his senses.
Sthita pragya, fantastic. I like that phrase.
And this verse 64, Baldeva Dibhushan's translation, it says, even though he enjoys the sense objects with the senses freed of attachment and repulsion, under the control of the mind, attains a pure mind. But that specific portion, enjoying the senses which are freed from attachment and aversion. So I was just curious, what does that mean exactly? This person that's controlled their senses, but they're enjoying, quote unquote.
Well, take prasadam. There's an example. Or participate in kirtan. There's another example. Or, decorate the deity. There's another example. So in those examples, the senses may feel satisfaction. And there may be a mix. It may be pure. And then it's like transcendental enjoyment with transcendental senses, or it may be a mix. So the difference between the two or the whole range is bhakti. How much intention. Remember this thing when Vaisheshikapur was here, he went through this whole semantic thing about attention goes where intention goes. So sankalpa is very important. So when you're participating in kirtan, there are probably times when you're more absorbed in a devotional mood of offering for Krishna's enjoyment. And there are probably some times when there's less of that and it's more the musicality enjoyment. We got a nice thing going here with a group of people that really like rocking and whatever. Less of the meditation upon. So it's the right place to be in for the cultivation of bhakti. But bhakti isn't automatically going to develop. It's not an automatic process. It's a devotional process. One has to a little light has to go on saying it's not just the musicality or it's not just the artistry of decorating or it's not just the number of people that came for our program. Yay, we've got a lot of people that come to the program. it's what's behind that, the spirit of intention of pleasing Krishna. That as that matures, then it's not a mix. There's less of a mix until it becomes that's the one thing. Yes, Karuna Nidhi.
I can't understand. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that yogi, the perfect yogi, they rejoice within. So, how is that is possible? How to rejoice within? Means, on what they get to derive the pleasures?
Mukunda, did you get it? Nityananda Pran got it. He's going to help me understand your question.
He said in Bhagavad Gita, we read that the yogi, he rejoices within.
A yogi enjoys within. Okay.
So how is it that he rejoices within and how can one
rejoice?
How? What is it that he makes?
Well, again, it can be different depending upon, you know, the position of consciousness. It can be, let's say somebody's a Mayavadi, and specifically the Bhagavatam says they're really eagerly looking forward to merging into the effulgence of the Supersoul. So that's a kind, you know, Brahmananda. And then other may be, you know, like the residents of Tapaloka, their enjoyment within, because their senses are shut down except the mind, their enjoyment is seeing the form of the Lord. Though it may be, as Kapiladev teaches in chapter 29 of third canto, that it leads that yogi to the position of wishing to engage all of their senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. So the rejoicing within varies according to, you know, the realization of the meditator or the yogi. All of those stages, they're meant to lead to the, you know, devotional service to Bhagavan. They're meant to lead to that. But what they're rejoicing depends upon their realization. Yes. It's 8:50 and I'm going to have to wrap up here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for class. So the verse is talking about senses in pursuit of sense objects.
Yes.
But sometimes in a certain stage of consciousness, it can feel like our senses are just being berated by these sense objects.
Our senses are being invaded?
Or just like constantly berated by the sense objects.
Berated?
Attacked.
Okay.
Yeah, like, but yeah, bombarded, yeah.
Bombarded, okay.
So is it like our senses are like a river, you know, just hitting, pursuing sense object after sense object, or is the sense objects like the river, like going over like the senses?
Okay. Material energy responds to Krishna's direction, correct? Maya jakshena prakriti. Prakriti is under Krishna's direction. The Krishna, in the form of Supersoul, he knows our desire. And according to our desire, Krishna reciprocates. Even if it's, you know, dumb. Even if it's, you know, going to bring ruin to our lives, Krishna will reciprocate. He doesn't interfere. I mean, he advises otherwise, but we can say no and just, or don't even hear him saying no. So it's not exactly bombarded. Prakriti is passive. Prakriti is matter. But rather, Krishna is reciprocating with the desire of the living entity. So according to the desire of the living entity, our experience may be, I'm being bombarded by the senses. When it's, I'm so attracted to the objects of the senses, the experience is bombardment. Or it can be more, you know, less intense. It can be, I'm attracted, not bombarded. So it's, material energy moves according to Krishna's indication, back, circling back to the starting message. And it, our subjective experience of the material energy depends upon where our consciousness is at, and Krishna is reciprocating with that. That's just, you know, same person in the same situation. Prabhupada, and, you know, sitting in Golden Gate Park with hippies surrounding him and dancing like wild people and intoxicated like crazy, and it's an opportunity for service to Krishna. He's not being bombarded. But, you know, somebody else might be bombarded, and someone else may be attracted. The material energy is passive, or it's neutral. And it acts upon the soul according to the desire of the soul. The movement of the material energy may be, whatever it is. Because, like you're Prabhupada sitting, and you've seen the pictures or the videos. There was one a group of devotees that were showing your ever well wisher to some sannyasis in Udupi. And they observed, they saw the whole video. And their response afterwards was, we could never do that. Your Swamiji must be very powerful. Because we would never go there, and were we there, we would not be able to handle it. So when the strength of bhakti is strong, then there's not bombardment. Although, when we look at that scene, or the sannyasis look at that scene, and it's bombardment. What do you think? Our perception is according to our consciousness, even as the material energy moves this way, that way. And I'm going to end the class and get ready for my travel. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.